You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Yeah, baby, it's Metal Shop's Backstage Pass, episode number 124.
Dude, what's going on? We're deep in summer, but today felt a little bit like fall. It was like kind of rainy, and I don't know, it was kind of nice to have a little break from the sun for a couple days.
Yeah, it was nice, man. It's been 90 degrees like most of the days this last week. I had my AC unit on, and I was freezing my balls off this morning when I woke up.
That's nice.
We got people listening to my aunts listening from Abu Dhabi. She's like, it was 122 degrees. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we get it, Karen, but we're not used to that in Seattle, okay?
Did you say Karen? Aunt Jane, man.
Whatever, I was just saying, you know.
Sorry, Karen, live overseas.
You're listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. My name is Kevin Deers. Ian Reese is at the helm.
I'm at the helm of the realm.
He's at the anal realm. Ryan the Beard is hanging out to my right. The whole crew is back together again, and yeah, man, it's just a few weeks till Pain in the Grass.
Yeah, we've been a little busy just doing local interviews and stuff like that, posting them up online. But man, I think Pain in the Grass is going to kick ass because we're going to have so much other audio. I don't know who we're going to interview yet.
No,
don't
want
to spoil it.
Here's the deal. We just found out that we're going to be throwing a huge party. Metal Shop not only is going to be hanging out on stage, interviewing a bunch of bands, but you're also going to be a part of a Metal Shop party. If you want to go to KISW.com, just look up the Palace Law package, and the Palace Law premium tickets will get you backstage to listen to interviews with us and some of the metal bands playing that day.
VIP, baby.
And you'll also get awesome barbecue food, you'll get cheaper drinks, and you'll get VIP treatment. You'll get to hang out with KISW jocks and, like I said, some of the metal bands, you know, we can't promise you who we'll be talking to that day, but let's look at the lineup. We got Slayer, we got Testament, Lamb of God, we got Anthrax, and Napalm Death.
Napalm Death opening up. So, at the White River Amphitheater.
If I was just a listener, I'm a fan of metal like I am, I would love to hear interviews with any of those bands and kind of just get a peek behind the scenes with any of those. So,
and let's be honest about another thing, too. It's awesome because you can come and go as you please at the VIP.
Exactly.
You don't got to deal with all the other jabronis. You got free food, a bar with only a few people you got to battle. And it's worth it, man.
And this is going to sell out, so if you're hearing this now, just go to KISW.com, like I said, and you can get Pain in the Grass tickets from there and just choose the premium package, man. It's totally worth it.
Yeah, check out that package, man.
Check out that package, sweet package. Man.
Yeah. That barbecue alone was worth it last year. I ate myself into a food coma and couldn't move.
You're going to be with us, right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Goddamn right.
Dude, speaking of sick packages, this lineup was Suffocation, man.
Yes.
Suffocation's last tour. I guess we should hit that little news thing, shouldn't we?
Oh.
Yes. There we go.
It's the news time.
Thanks,
baby.
Sound guy.
Yeah.
All right.
After so, all these years.
In the past few years, Frank Mullen has kind of pulled back as vocalist of Suffocation. He's been on the albums and he's toured sparingly because he's got a full-time job and he's got kids, and he's admitted, like, you know, I can't really support kids and my family on just underground death metal. It makes sense.
He just said, you know, I got kids. It's time for me to pull out.
Jeez, wow. Too late. That said, though, we did get to see him the last time they played in Seattle down there at the gold RIP Studio 7, but he was like, it was like a one-off show. You and I talked. I remember seeing, like, is that going to be the last time we see Frank Mullen singing?
It is not. Because he is doing a farewell tour. So he's not going to be on the albums. He's not going to be in Suffocation anymore, but he's doing one farewell tour with Suffocation, and it's coming to Club Sur Rocks down in the Soto area in Seattle here in November 2nd. And the package, like I was saying, is Cattle Decapitation, Chrissian, and Surreption alongside Suffocation, man.
That's a hell of a tour.
Yeah, that's going to be insane.
And I know, Ryan, I know you were bummed when Surreption dropped off of Summer Slaughter.
I was super bummed about that. I didn't bother to go.
Yeah. Well,
honestly, it was kind of shady what happened at Summer Slaughter, because it was kind of whack that Summer Slaughter didn't mention that some of the bands that a lot of people wanted to go see dropped off the festival.
Yeah, of course they didn't, because people were going to start refunding their tickets. So people showed up at the door going, you know, what the f*** is happening here? It's a little bit of a disappointment, so we're just going to acknowledge that for any of you who missed that. But they are coming back with Suffocation and Chrissian, and dude, That's honestly one a better
this is
lineup.
A better
than my
lineup.
Eyes. Yeah,
exactly. I'm much more stoked for this lineup.
If you're someone who's in the game of promotion, don't do that.
Yeah,
if someone drops off a show, a bill, like it's fair and it's only right to mention when someone drops off because there's people that are coming out from maybe from out of town for just like prioritizing their life to make it there and. You don't want to waste their time or their money. Come on, just be transparent. And that's going to go longer than just making a few bucks off this kid
I hate to use one of the dirty words in the music business, which is legal and legality. But like technically, that's kind of a bait and switch. So just don't do that. It's only going to piss people off. So that said, there was one dude this week, yesterday actually, who had finally, he just had snap.
He had enough.
He had enough. We were talking a couple weeks back, I don't know if on the podcast or on air, about the guy, the anniversary of the Killdozer guy.
Oh, man.
Out in the Midwest who, like, there's some
I totally forgot about that guy.
Yeah, some corporation, like, built, like, an oil refinery next to his, like, auto shop and cut off the roads, cut off the water, and he was trying to go through, like, the city council and everything, and he just kept getting f***ed at every turn. So he stopped working for 3 months. He built a bulldozer tank. And decimated half the town. We all like movies.
Jesus.
Like remember the movie Falling Down?
Oh yeah,
you know. Well, there's sometimes people just can't take it anymore.
And it should be noted that that dude did not kill a single person.
Exactly.
All the buildings that he demolished were all buildings that were directly linked to the people that had effed him over.
So what we're about to talk about, in case you didn't hear, of course, this is a local issue for us. Like the guy at SeaTac Airport yesterday who hijacked the Horizon airplane. Which was a $33.6 million airplane today, I found out. And this is why, at first I was like, oh man, what's going to happen? But we're finding out now, which is why I feel a little more comfortable talking about this. This guy who hijacked the plane had no intentions of taking anybody with him.
Yeah.
The plane was empty. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody. And if you've heard the air traffic control communications, he made that, you know, very obvious.
Yeah.
But he in this thing, so this guy yesterday, 29-year-old mechanic who was working at the airport, jumped into an empty plane in one of the, what do you call that? Not the bunker, but like the
hangar?
Yeah. Somehow backed the plane out onto the tarmac and took off. In an airplane. This guy doesn't know how to fly a plane. He's not a pilot.
I love his communications with the tower. If you go back through and listen to the audio, he just says, "Nah, don't worry. I play some video games, so I'm sure I can figure it out."
Yeah.
And so they're trying to like talk him through how to get
how
down.
To land the plane. Yeah, and he goes, "I don't know how to land this plane." But he's doing literally, he did a loop to him. He went upside down, went all the way back around. Damn near, he came like maybe 20 feet from crashing into Chambers Bay down in the south. You know, South Tacoma down there.
Barrel rolls.
He was talking to the tower.
And he pulled it off and he kept going.
He's talking to the tower going, "You guys think I can do a barrel roll? I'm just going to do a barrel roll real quick. Just let me do this barrel roll."
Look, so he ended up, and it's kind of funny to mention at first. And I was working last night. We were both at Defy Wrestling.
Yeah.
Down
there. Shout out to Defy.
Yeah. Shout out to them. Congratulations to them too, by which we can get into a little bit later.
Two sold out shows in a row.
But I'm sitting there working security, like watching the live stream of this. It goes in my mind from like, wow, this is hilarious. And people are posting like, this guy's my hero. But like he's like, "I'm a broken man. I'm having a really hard time." And the sad thing is that he crashed onto an island, which I found out yesterday only has 16 inhabitants.
Wow.
So this really couldn't have gone any better, I guess is what you'd say. Because they had they scrambled F-15s from Portland, Oregon, and it took them less than 5 minutes. To get to Tacoma, so that says something there. So they were about ready to shoot this guy down if he was going to be like flying into Seattle or something.
Yeah.
So it could have been really, really bad.
But he wasn't trying to.
And he ended up crashing, and he's definitely, he's smeared, man. He's gone. Like,
yeah.
I think that plane just exploded into a million pieces. And so, like, I guess the bottom line is, like, I'm not going to say good for him because, you know, at the end of the day, that airplane's insured. So even if he was pissed off at his bosses, like, I'm sure they're going to be just fine. But it further, like, signifies a little bit of the desperation that happens with young people and stuff like that. And so we'll find out in the days
sad.
To come. Yeah, it's super sad, man. But
at the same time,
it
could have gone worse.
It
could have gone a lot worse.
But he left his mark. Oh, that's kind of classless. He left his mark on an island out there somewhere.
Jesus.
Yeah, so... that goes out to that guy. We don't know what his name is yet. 29-year-old mechanic, man, just trying to make it. And he went out in an epic Michael Douglas falling down fashion. So
do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll, Fox. So anyway, while we're talking about weird death stuff and talking about death metal, let's just transition over to the new Deicide song. Deicide song, Seal the Tomb Below. Their record's coming up September 14th, and here in about a month on Century Media. Glenn Benton, one of the scariest and most
strange,
iconic,
creepy, weird.
So that's coming out. He's working with the artwork for the record was done by Jesus Christ.
Zbigniew Bielak
from Paradise Lost Ghost. He worked with Mayhem. And Jason Sukoff, who worked with Trivium and Black Dahlia Murder. So.
Have you guys listened to the song yet?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's pretty hard.
Yeah.
It's pretty, pretty hard. So look forward to that one. And we might as well just keep going talking about the new stuff that's coming
out. Yeah, we got new Soulfly coming out soon. Ritual is the name of the album. It's actually the follow-up to 2015's Archangel, which was a badass record. It's their 11th album. It's coming out October 19th on Nuclear Blast. And they just had their new single, Evil Empowered, stream below.
It's hard, man.
Stream below. I'm literally reading, you can tell what I'm reading.
Yes,
so.
I can.
Yes, it is streamed below the podcast that you're listening to right now.
Yeah, so Terror is coming back. They got a new record coming out this year. This band kind of writes the same record over and over again.
But it's a good record.
But I like that record. So they got one coming out in September.
They
September
got dude from 28th. Cruel Hand playing with them now.
Yeah, he finally stepped back because I don't think Cruel Hand's really doing much. Remember that last Cruel Hand record that came out? It was real
his butt.
Life of Agony kind of ripoff, but like not the good way, which, if you know me, is not really compatible with my music taste. But that said, Terror. Anyway, bless you.
That was insane.
Wow. Hail Satan.
That was some grindcore sneezes.
September 28th, Pure Noise Records, the record's Mental Demolition. We got brand new Terror. And if you listen to Metal Shop this week or next week, we got brand new songs off of that as well.
Yeah, that album cover rules, too. Have you guys checked that out? Yeah, look at that.
I'm seeing the Terror one.
Yeah, the Terror one. It's all kinds of cool.
Broken glass with someone's face. It's pretty cool. But it's like art drawn. It's art, man!
So you remember the last Pig Destroyer song we played a couple weeks ago where people were getting super pissed off because they were like, that's not grind, man!
I liked it.
I like it, too.
It was a great song.
I kind of like that it pisses off grind elitists, too.
The reason that I mentioned that is because this new song, the new Pig Destroyer song, is incredibly grindy and like super groovy and like basically the antithesis of the last song. And I feel like they put that last song out as kind of just a big f*** you to anybody who would like get all pissed off about it. And then they came back and they were like, just kidding, man, we're still Pig Destroyer. So that the new song is called The Torture Fields, and the new record called Head Cage is coming out September 7th on Relapse Records.
High on Fire is actually going to be coming to town. They're going to be coming to town with, is it Municipal Waste?
Yeah.
Let me see here. It's Municipal Waste, High on Fire.
The band Haunt.
Haunt and Toxic Holocaust. And they're going to be
such a good line.
Dude, that's going to be insane. They're going to be playing Seattle here. Showbox at the Market on November 21st. But I bring up High on Fire not only because of that, but they also just release some details about their new album, Electric Messiah.
Yeah. Can I read the quote from
Matt
Pike here? He said, I had a dream about Lemmy explaining the inspiration. He's talking about the inspiration of this new song, Electric Messiah, which is the title track. He said, so I had this dream where he got pissed at me. He gave me a bunch of shit, basically, and was hazing me. Not that he didn't approve of me, but like I was being hazed by him. So the song is telling me that telling the world that I could never fill Lemmy's shoes because Lemmy is f***ing Lemmy, man. And I totally get that. He said he wanted to pay homage to him in a great way, and it turned out to be such a good title, and the guys said that we should call the album Electric Messiah. So it's tip of the cap to Mr. Lemmy Kilmister there, Kilmister.
Did you guys know that Matt Pike lives in Portland now?
Really?
Yeah, huh. So if you see him around more, that's why.
Let's just go say hi.
A couple hours away.
Let's go, like, remember when those people used to try and find out Danzig's address and go hang outside his house?
Oh, I know Danzig's address.
Oh, well.
666 Satan Boulevard.
Let's go find out where Matt Pike lives and just smoke endless joints in front of his house until he finally comes out and says hello. Yo, Bruce Dickinson turned 60 years old this week.
And he still has more energy than your average 20-year-old.
Yeah, so he joined Iron Maiden in 1981, man.
Yes.
So how old? I mean, I'm so goddamn bad at math. How old would that make him now? It's like calculus to me at this point.
Well, he would be 60 now.
Yeah. That's what I mean. But how old was he back then? Maybe 21?
What year did he join Iron Maiden?
81.
81. So, Ryan, you figure that out. But, I mean, like, he's come and gone with the band over time. He quit the band in 93 and rejoined back in 1999. And Iron Maiden's put out a few records since then.
He was 23.
23.
23 years. Thanks for the calculator, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. Got it, buddy.
The Google calculator coming in handy.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who had to go get chemo on his tongue because he went down on too many ladies.
That's what the report
was. That's what he said. No, he came out and said, yo, I had HPV on the back of my tongue and I had a cancerous tumor.
Don't be blaming it on the
He said it. I remember this specifically. He was like, yeah, I've had lots of oral sex on the ladies there. But he's good, man. So it's good to see him. And happy birthday to you, Mr. Dickinson.
I thought it was pretty cool that Howard Jones, the former vocalist of Killswitch Engage, he actually made an appearance on Friday, August 10th at the O2 Arena in London. And he did a duet with Jesse Leach on the song The End of Heartache. There's video, fan shot video of it. And it's pretty cool, man. You know, it's cool to see those two guys broing down because they were always like that shot, like that, like rumors that they were kind of like beefing or that there was like a rivalry between them.
Okay, so I read like this big essay that Jesse Leach wrote on Instagram this morning, actually, when I got up. And he was talking about how he never really knew Howard. So he quit Killswitch Engage because he was having his own, like, mental illness issues.
Yeah.
Like, he was having suicidal issues and depression, and he just couldn't take the touring life anymore. So he stepped aside. Howard Jones stepped in for, I don't know, a good damn near a decade.
Yeah. And that's when they really became big, is when Howard was singing
for The End of Heartache, man, really took off. And Killswitch, dude, they're on top of the world.
I mean,
now.
They had that, honestly, their biggest single was Dio Holy Diver single.
Well, yeah, that was getting played on MTV when MTV
and
was
KISW, like, main.
But, dude, I mean, Killswitch Engage, literally just last week, got off of opening up for Iron Maiden, dude.
Yeah, pretty huge. They're still really big.
So what I was reading from Jesse Leach is he was saying, like, I never really knew Howard. People always had, there were rumors flying around about how we were beefing and stuff like that. He was like, I never really knew him. And the thing that kind of ties them together is that Howard Jones also quit Killswitch Engage because he was having the same type of mental illness issues. And, you know, depression, and he was just obviously, he could tell something was wrong, so he stepped out, otherwise something really bad would have happened with him.
I guess the question is, how bad is it to tour with those guys?
No, and it seems like they're like the most fun group of dudes, like Adam D, you know, remember seeing him on The Price is Right, winning The Price
is Right.
But that doesn't always say everything. So he said that he and Howard finally just met about 6 months ago for the first time.
Yeah.
And he said that they clicked. And he was like, it's surprising how much of the same person that we are. We have the same mental illness issues. He said we share the same love for medical marijuana and a bunch of other stuff. So it's really cool to see them together. This is not like a professional and not produced thing. Can we play a piece of this? And like,
sure.
Because they go back and forth and they share the mic. So Howard Jones, also reportedly from Jesse Leach this week, is singing on a new song on the new Killswitch record.
That's very awesome. Cool.
So they like made friends. So let's check out and see what that is. So they're switching off. So the backup is Jesse Leach.
That's awesome. You know what? I think we gotta play this during Metal Shop tonight.
You want to?
Yeah.
I'm down.
Ryan's not.
I'm not worried about that bearded opinion.
We'll play enough underground grindcore for him to wet himself. It's fine.
All right. I mean, the production's okay. Sounds all right.
For Instagram Live.
Yeah, no kidding. It just kind of warms my heart as a fan, like a 16-year-old kid who was a real big fan of that band. Because we always just assumed there was some real, like, tension there going on. And just to see them, like, hugging each other on stage and, like, being friends with Howard again. Because, you know, anytime you, like, lose a member or kick someone out or whatever, it's a little ugly there for a while.
That's cool that things are good between them. And if you're a fan of Howard Jones' voice, he definitely still belts. And
he's
in the band Light the Torch. They're on Nuclear Blast, too. And you can check them out. He is in a band with former members of Bleeding Through and some other dudes. So check out Light the Torch.
Did we already talk about Deicide?
We did, man.
Oh, okay.
You fucking Stoner.
And why you got to call me out like that?
We already talked about the Municipal Waste Tour. Okay,
cool. Yeah. Okay. Oh,
let's talk about World Day.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we should. Oh, that's another thing.
Ryan,
you
got this?
I totally forgot.
No, I don't got this. This article's so long.
What the f***, bro?
I can barely read. Are you kidding me?
All right. Look. Here's the deal. So World Day passed away last year. It was December 13, 2017.
Yep.
And he was down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And he was actually working on the follow-up to his 2014 album.
And he came up to the studio and was telling us about how stoked he was to get down there, and he was going to spend some months down there. It's coming out October 26th. It's called Shadow Work, and it's going to be completed using vocals from, like, apparently various studio and pre-production sessions that he had done, but these are going to be the final World Day recordings on October 26th.
He teamed up with Brazilian musicians Johnny Moraes, Thiago Oliveiro, Fabio Carito, and Marcus Dota, and they were his touring band for World
Day. For the World Aim project.
And so the album's called Shadow Work, like you said, and they're going to finish this out.
It says it's going to be a special CD and media book offering a 44-page booklet, which is going to be kind of cool, a gatefold LP, and a 12-page LP booklet.
Wow.
So this is going to be one that's worth getting, man. You know, if you ever spend money on vinyl, this is going to be definitely a good one. Grab that first edition because, Worl was a legend and still continues to be influential. So
that makes me happy. Yeah. That makes me really happy. And it's not something that's just like a quick cash grab or something. It's for the fans, man. Like, that we got to hear that. You know, it was literally the thing he was working on when he passed away, so it's amazing that it's going to be able to see the light of day, right? and that's going to be the final thing that we'll be able to kind of like enjoy and savor.
Yeah, exactly.
his lasting legacy.
Well, you know, we're not going to let you get out of here without entering Metal Shop's Brutal Poetry Lounge.
Too hot for radio.
It's been a f***ing hot minute, man, so we're going to really gross you out by going over to Italy, one of the centers of world culture.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so off of the record, Degenerating Anthropophilological Euphoria. Here's Draining Necro-Anal Disgorgement. Kevin, take it away.
Addicted to the excrements of the dead. Post-mortem nourishments of secretions. Coprophagical deeds, stay gutted corpses, prone on the table, ripped away from their place of eternal rest. I start predating the bodies, awful pleasure-seeking, draining, rotten
drink it.
Rectal bleeding upon my tongue, consuming bespattered intestinal juices, splattering cavities till the last drop. Gorging shit and sewage of bodies on rot.
Sewage.
I fill my mouth in delight.
Oh my God.
The stench is sickly sweet. My hunger is growing on and on and on. I grab handfuls of tainted putrid waste, wallowing in pools of steaming shit. Munch on the septic matter.
Munch it.
Hovering over the corpse in decay, forced in my throat, coughing up.
Forcing it in your throat.
And choking. Decrepitated mental, compulsive fixations for human disarray.
That's not a word.
Influenced by every motions, to slide my hands into the gastrointestinal tract. I drink blood and feces. Intoxicating me with this rank rotting putridine. What? Putridine. Erupted from the dead. My decrepit procedures of deviated autopsy. Let me obtain all the food that I crave with no effort. Mm-hmm. I feel sick. I'm fixated with taste, this seepage, and I devour it entirely, puking. And regorging again. I'm a f***ing pervert.
Pervert. Good job, Kevin. Thanks, Italy, for your exported death metal.
That was putridity, baby.
Draining necro-anal necro-anal disgorgement.
Something like that.
All right, well, cool.
Necro-anal.
If we don't see you guys before Painting the Grass, come f***ing say hi. It's going to be a metal shop party, KISW.com. Grab that VIP pass. Free food. Discounted drinks, and all the metal that you can cram up your butt. Right, Ryan?
Straight up there.
Straight up. Now tell me, are you going to go to
painting the grass? All right. Hey, thanks for listening to Battle Shop's Backstage Pass episode 124. And we will see you guys again next time.
Suck it.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.